Hey, Izzy, how's it going over there?
Hey, Stephanie. It is very beautiful out here. I'm in Chignik Lagoon right now. It's pretty quiet out on the water. We saw a few jumpers out this morning. I went to the Chignik Weir, and also yesterday when I was talking to people, we saw them out in the lagoon. But other than that, the water is pretty quiet. There's a couple boats anchored out there, but no activity in the fishery right now.
So can you tell our listeners why did you head over to Chignik Lagoon yesterday?
Absolutely. I came over here because for the past 4 years, the sockeye runs to Chignik have been extremely low, and the Chinook runs have been low for almost a decade now, if not over a decade. And so I wanted to come out here, and we wanted to talk to people who live in Chignik Lagoon. I'm also heading out to Chignik Bay today, so I'll be able to talk to people there as well about how they're feeling about this year, both with subsistence fishing and how it's been affecting subsistence fishing, these low runs, as well as commercial fishing, and what they're thinking about the coming years.
So, yeah, what are people saying about the fishing this year?
I mean, you know, it's really slow. People are a little bit resigned to it. There's a little frustration. A few people have actually mentioned that they've elected not to subsistence fish this year or to do less subsistence fishing in order to conserve the run. So that just is one example of how dire things are here. And subsistence fishing is obviously a deep part of life here. And so I think that just is a really stark example. And that really struck me when multiple people said that they had decided to hold off on subsistence fishing to conserve the run for future generations. And I've spoken to a few elders so far on this trip. One resident, Al Anderson, has lived in Chignik Bay all his life. He very generously welcomed me into his home while he was shelling clams that he picked on the beach with his family. And, you know, he said that his daughter came up from Anchorage to subsistence fish, and it was really slow, and something that they'd normally be able to do in a couple days took a couple weeks. So I think that viewpoint it just stands out as something it's just a really tough situation. But I will say that, you know, people still have resiliency in themselves. And I think as they go out to get their subsistence fish for this year, they're still sharing the fish that they do get. Al spoke about, you know, getting 32 fish. And by the time he was done giving fish out to other households, he had one fish left for his house. That's what he felt was the right thing to do. And that was just the norm for him to share that catch. So, you know, there are some bright spots in that sharing that I've heard from people here. On the commercial side of things, commercial fishermen here have an opener on Sunday to Monday for pinks and chums in some of the bays. So they're kind of looking forward to that. I was actually walking down the road yesterday evening and speaking to someone, and someone drove up on a four-wheeler and was like, "There's an opener." So they were like really excited about that. You know, overall, I think that opener is more for fish and game to see what the pink and chum runs are doing. And I think some of the fishermen are a little bit, you know, they're not that optimistic that it's going to produce that many fish.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of powerful observations and stories to really kind of dive into what's going on there. I guess my last question would be, are there any plans moving forward for these low returns, or, you know, what are kind of people talking about that in terms of the future?
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a really hard question for people, just because I think so much of people's livelihoods and lives here have been tied to fishing, subsistence and commercial fishing, that, you know, thinking about moving forward with increasingly low runs is a really tough thing to imagine. I spoke to George Anderson, who's involved with the Chignik Intertribal Coalition, yesterday evening, and he said that the coalition received a tribal resiliency grant from the BIA to gather local observations on climate change in this region. So that was one thing that he mentioned as, you know, a positive step. And I think the Intertribal Coalition is working with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and Fish and Game, and they're planning, if they receive funding, to study the Chinook runs to the Chignik River, which are extremely low this year.
Well, Izzy, thank you so much for letting us know what's going on over there in the Chignik's, and thanks for taking the time to head over there.
Yeah, I just wanted to really quickly, while I'm here, say thank you to everyone who's talked to me so far, if they're listening. We've gotten a few people saying that they really enjoy KDLG, so I appreciate everyone in the Chigmig area who listens to us, and thank you for taking a couple minutes to talk, Stephanie.
Of course. Have a great rest of your trip and safe travels.